The Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus Ultra starting at just $31.98 a gallon. So let's do paint that's perfectly at home with kids and pets. Behr Premium Plus Ultra has an advanced stain and scuff blocking formula, so it stands up to your life, whatever your life includes right now, and keeps its color for years to come. Let's do this. Get Behr Premium Plus Ultra starting at just $31.98 a gallon. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only.
You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
And welcome to the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. The Yankees, the Dugout Podcast, Steve, Chris, and Kenny. The call number to listen or live or speak is always 929-477-4171 to the Bleed Blue Show. You can stream the show on BleedBlueShow.com, Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, at Bleed Blue Show. Definitely today on the podcast, New York Yankees Talk. But, gentlemen, I think we are a little overwhelmed on one of our other teams. But we got to get into the Yankees. But what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Overwhelmed. First of all, hey Kenny, how you doing, pal?
All good. How are you?
You know what? I'll tell you how I feel. Since you are the aficionado of all things Yankees, I'll tell you how I feel this morning. Honestly, I feel like Mariano Rivera had on a mask. Had a helmet last night at Madison Square Garden, standing with a whole lot of pads. He had a whole lot of pads on. He was in front of a goal, and it's back. It's Arizona 2001 all over again for me. That's how it felt, in a nutshell. That's exactly what it was. But congratulations! Look, the Rangers did a damn good job this year, man. There's nothing to really be sad about. They tried their damnedest. It looked like it was a sure thing with Game 7 at the Garden, but, you know, the show must go on. We have to worry about this other team here that we're here to, gathered here this morning to talk about. So maybe next year. That's what I'm saying, Kent.
Kenny, you want to expand on your thoughts on the game, the Rangers game, and before we get into any Yankees talking, before I get my last 2 cents, and we'll address it later on in the week.
You know, I got to give the Lightning all the credit. They played a phenomenal game. You know, every time the Rangers brought the puck into their zone, they were met by a barrage of defenders. It reminds me of a lot of those games early in the year when the Rangers were just overmatched by the Islanders. Mm-hmm. Remember those games when there's like nothing they can do? They got shut out like twice in a row. It's like there's no way they're winning these games. And that's what it felt like. They didn't have that many opportunities to score. And when they did, Ben Bishop was right there. He played a great game.
I know.
I don't really know. I can't really complain. They tried their best.
You can't.
And my last, we were on last night, Travis, Knickerbocker, I have myself, after the game, here on BlueBlueShow.com. And I, and Chris, that, and you said something just now that alluded to why what we do, the way we do it in the format we present it. And first, I want to give a shout-out to the diehard and season ticket holder Ranger fans out there, because that was painful to watch. That was – I'm sad for those type of fans, that level of fanship for the Rangers. I'm sad for all Rangers fans, but definitely as most for the diehard Ranger fan. There's no ways around it. You guys had a phenomenal regular season president's trophy winner. You first two rounds, you beat Sidney Crosby for a second straight year. You beat Alex Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about two of the premier NHL players in the sport. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I said it last night, they were a threat. I said that pretty much the second half of all the season of the NHL. That's the one team I wanted to avoid at all costs because they're good. And like Kenny said, you got to give them all the credit. And the reason why I say give the credit to the diehard Ranger fan, because in my parameters of fanship, the diehard puts all his eggs in one basket. I mean, there's only pretty much certain fans. They're only rooting for one team, one sport, nothing else. They're all in for the Rangers, and the Rangers had a phenomenal season. And the comparison between this year and, let's say, the last 5-6 years, I think we were expected to win the Cup this year. The other 5 years, I don't think so. Last year, we got as far as we did, and we just lost to a better, deeper team in the Kings, where this year, I thought our chances were the best this year. I don't know the window of this regime, but for the Ranger fan, the diehard Ranger fan, this one stung, and we'll be here to consult you guys, because we're going to prepare some audio for you guys to you know, what does this do going forward? Now, Chris, as you said, there's other teams we go home. That's why I say what I say as far as loyal fans, because mm-hmm. we have other teams we root for outside of the Rangers, like the Yankees.
That's right.
So it stings for the diehard fan today. It really does, because that two-game gap, what happened in Game 6 and Game 4, turning it on the way they did in Tampa Bay, just to come back to the garden, back-to-back home games and lay the goose egg. I don't get that, man.
Yeah.
But shout out to the Rangers. It was a great season, but there's no way around it. It's a disappointment. We were expected to win the Cup this year. Definitely expected. Yeah. But the baseball team, and you guys did a great job last Saturday. Shout out to you guys last Saturday, holding it down. The Bombers.
We're diehard. Bigger diehard than Kenny Dorian, so I'm pleased to be in his presence. What are you talking about?
There you go.
We got the Bombers, or lack thereof, in Oakland. Two losses right now on that West Coast trip. I'm trying to stay up to watch as much of these games as I can. I'm getting old, what the hell is going on? Is Jekyll and Hyde this week? Is this week to be the going down as far as play? We had like you said, Chris, on the Blues Day recap. Go back in the audio archives, guys, to check that out. Mm-hmm. That audio masterpiece, Christopher delivered on the New York Yankees. We getting bombed by Texas. Are we anemic to AL West teams? I don't get this. What's up with that, Kenny?
Let's recap, like you just said. All right, we had let me see, something like 10 losses in 11 games, I think it was. Then we had a 3-game sweep of the best team in the league, which is the Royals. I think they were. I don't know how you look at it right now. Then you go into East Bay and you lose 2 to the A's, who were easily the worst team in the league. I don't know, and I think Giraldi's trying to find it. I don't know if we have any chemistry yet, man. It seems like we do, and just when you think we do, there is none to be found. There's nothing. I don't really know what to say. I'm getting ready to defer to Kenny right now, but the thing is, as a fan, as a diehard fan, when this kind of thing happens, it sort of makes you want to pull your hair out, man. I'm already getting these grays on the side of my head. And the Yankees are starting to give them to me, you know, a little bit more than the Knicks and the Rangers previously just did. And I'm trying to figure out, where is there a combination? Is there a chemistry that is trying to be, I don't know what you want to call it, developed here? I don't know what's going on at all. I have zero answers as a fan at this point. I thought last week, for sure, at this very time, that with CeCe taking the mound, and I had a really, really, we had a really, really great conversation, Steve, as you alluded to, and we thought that it was going to be the start of something big. I saw the first game of the Royals with the Royals on Monday. That was phenomenal. Great energy in the stadium. I'm thinking, okay, now we're starting to turn the corner a little bit. Let's see how this goes. Then, as a result, we did sweep the Royals, and I felt okay. All right, now we know who we are, even with the injuries. And then this happens. Kenny, help me, please. I'm gonna lay on your couch like therapy, man, and you pull out the big old book, and you know how that goes.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I'm thinking: the Yankees score like 90% of their runs on home runs. When they don't hit home runs, they don't win games. You look at last night. they hit that one home run and they kind of like pieced together that other run later on. But that was it. When the home runs are solo shots, they're not really winning. Chris, you and I were at that game on Monday when they scored 14 runs. I don't think they scored any runs that weren't the result of home runs. I mean, they had like, what, six home runs?
They had six home, yes.
And a couple 3-run shots. I think that was it.
That was it. They sort of shot their wad after the first inning, pretty much. Yeah.
The Yankees don't string together a lot of hits. They get the one big hit. Mm-hmm. And when they don't get that big hit, they can't win. They don't rally. They don't have these long, like, you know, single, double, single, walk, single. They don't get that. They score differently. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but when they're not hitting home runs, it's tough for them to win games. And that's what we saw these last couple nights.
Wow, that's a very good analogy, man. I didn't even pick up on that. Wow.
But
what do you think,
that Steve? Goes back to my point of how I kind of want the team to be constructed. And it goes to what Kenny has said with how Teixeira approaches the plate. I'm here to hit home runs.
Yeah.
And paraphrase. I'm not paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what you said for word for word, but that's pretty much that in a nutshell. Like, okay, let's say this team gets far, they're in a wild card hunt, or they're even in the division lead in the AL East, but what does that mean when you're playing against phenomenal pitching? Those home runs ain't going to – they're not going to cut nothing in October
if
you get that far. And we said this. We know this. That's why I wish we went away from that a little bit more, because sometimes timely hitting, hit-and-run situations – and just getting guys on base, that's more of a rhythm thing. It's a groove. Not only that's a groove and getting guys into runners in scoring position and moving guys along the bases, but for the opposition, that's a mental wear. Like, dang, I got another guy on base. Dang, I got another guy on base. Dang, I got on the base. Versus when you're popping 2-3 home runs at a time, a guy could easily shake that off unless he gave up multiple, let's say in an inning or two or in half innings. That's why I'm not really a fan of all this slugging, because as we all know as Yankee fans, the best season in this, I guess, the last, 20 years is the 98 season. Yeah, they could hit the home run, but those guys were RBI hit-and-run machines, those teams. But they have better quality players, to be honest, but it goes back to your point, Kenny. I'm not really a big fan of all the slugging, because it really doesn't really mean nothing at the end of the day if you can't get out of the first round because you're going against the top horses in the wild card division, you know, the wild card round.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not really the optimal way to construct a team with these home run hitters that are, again, not even that great of home run hitters. I mean, I understand how great Teixeira is, but McCann's going to hit, 25? It's not, like, a ridiculous amount. That's good, but it's not off the charts.
Wow.
So,
I'm just sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm going, damn, you know, that's what the Yankees are traditionally known for, the slugging.
Yeah, Bronx Bombers, right? They don't run.
Yeah.
But they also have those table setters, which is why they're really missing Ellsbury.
Yeah.
He's not getting on base. He's driven in by the home run.
Yeah. But, I'm speechless right now, Steve. I'm sorry. I don't know if you had a question or not. I'm really just taking it all in, because I never really, until Kenny brought that up, I never really, really noticed it that way. And what you said also, what are you going to do when you get a, let's just pick someone random. Let's say later on in the season we have to meet Kershaw or someone, you know, and they're on fire, and they know, and there's no real fastball. There's a lot of sliders and up and in type of stuff being thrown. What are we gonna do?
We lose the game. There you go. We lose.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's
horrible. That's a hell of a revelation. I never really thought about it. That's scary to me now, because we're just going into June. We still don't have all our horses back. We still have pitching woes. Capano yesterday.
I'm glad you mentioned his name. I was going to bring him up. I'm glad you mentioned him.
Oh, boy.
But
here's
my thing about, before I bring up Chris and my questions for Kenny and you, Chris, about getting the horses back. I may sound crazy. I may sound a little delirious when I say that. If we're not going to have the pitching or the horses, per se, I'd rather have it be now when things are relatively still early than later. So if we're going to get horses back, let's have that more towards, hopefully we're still in it, and I think we should be around, let's say, mid-July. So mid-July, around that All-Star break, you know, like after that. If you're going to bring arms back and give them a little bit of a rhythm, because if this is a marathon, this is 162 games, I'd rather let it be later than now. So if we're not going to have guys, I'd rather let it be when it's not relatively overly humid in most parts of the country. And that's kind of how I look at it. I mean, as far as a worst case scenario, you know?
Right. Wow.
But, I mean, of course you would want them all year round, but I mean, we're human, and guys do get injured. If we're not going to have them, it's kind of like in any sport. Let them be hurt early, then later, i.e. Will Beatty. No names. But Kenny and Chris mentioned Chris Capiano. He's 0-3. What's going through his mind mentally, his preparation? What are you seeing with his pitches, his technique, all that?
You know, Capiano doesn't throw that hard. He throws like 89 maybe 90 if you really let one fly. And he doesn't really have the stuff to get a swing and a miss. I mean, I see he can be a good pitcher at times when his location's on and he has that breaking ball working for him and he can fit that changeup in too. But he didn't have that entirely last night, which is part of the reason why he got hit pretty hard in the third inning. He just left leading pitches over the heart of the plate. That was probably his last start, assuming Tanaka comes back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I think that was it for him. He's probably going to be moved to the bullpen, and Adam Warren will stay in the rotation. Then, I don't know, I'm interested to see how he performs as a reliever. So maybe he's a little more fit for the pen. We'll have to find out. I hope so. You know, more like a Esmiel Rogers, middle relief kind of guy. We'll find out.
What's the deal on Tanaka coming back on Wednesday? I've heard that. And judging by Capiano's game last night, I don't think he'll be starting Wednesday, like you said, Ken. I think that's enough. I mean, I know the guy still is dealing with, what does he have, like a tricep situation in spring training, something like that I remember? Something like that.
Capuano? Like a quad strain.
Oh,
a
that's
really
what
severe
yeah.
quad strain.
It looks like he's got that problem again.
Like, just send him on a DL. See you later.
Yeah, he doesn't look good. And here we go again, getting masking tape to replace scotch tape, you know. I am very hopeful that Tanaka is Tanaka when he gets back here. I think the entire Yankee Nation is that hopeful. Because we can't keep doing this. Not on the mound. We're holding it together just by scotch tape. You know, I think the bullpen looks really, really okay, promising. I don't see any problems with that. I think they can toe the line with anyone. But this starting rotation situation is god awful, man. You know, we can't work this way. And I'm just hoping that there's some kind of ray of sunshine on come Wednesday at least. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. I say with Chris Capiano, he only gave up the 3 earned runs over 5 innings.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like he had a couple of walks, and I think it was in the second inning. And I think something about this pitching staff, and this is just psychology, baseball, pitching psychology 101. Are you mentally stable enough to fight through these jams? I don't even think it's physical with these guys. I think it's more mental of over-calculating and just getting guys out. Your locations of your pitch. Now, you guys mentioned before with Brian McCann, he's the guy who calls all the pitches, he calls games. He's like holding your hand, trying to get to the promised land. These pitchers are supposed to deliver. Brian McCann's there to help you, and you can't be issuing multiple walks in half innings, and that's when we get into trouble like that. And Chris Capriano, I'll get to the big man too, because he had a he's down to 2-7, no names mentioned. But I think it goes back to what you're saying, Chris. How can we mentally, and this goes back to our Blues Day recap podcast, consistency. It's just that simple, consistency. How do we bring it? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that as far as...
I don't either.
It's either you got it or you don't. And I never really could put my finger on it. Maybe it's just some days you have it, some days you don't have it. Luck is on your side, luck is not on your side. I can't put a finger on it. You're getting football scores put on you by the Rangers because you didn't have the consistency, but yet you're playing one of the best teams in the American League, and you shut them down.
I don't know.
Kenny, do you understand this baseball consistency? I'm tongue-tied, and Chris is tongue-tied, and we watched this for a combined 80 years. What about you, Kenny? Could we get your perspective? Go get it.
The Yankee pitchers aren't... Well, besides Pineda, maybe they aren't in their prime anymore. You know, CeCe's past his prime. Adam Warren hasn't reached it yet. Still developing. Same with Eovaldi. These guys aren't either fully developed or are in the process of undeveloping. With that, you guys, there's not going to have that consistency. The way Eovaldi can at times have that ace stuff, but also, you know, throw three wild pitches and hit a batter and lay some sliders right over the heart of the plate. That just comes with experience. Same thing with Adam Warren. And CeCe just doesn't have what he used to, and he's having trouble coming to terms with that. And for them, he just loses control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk about Pineda. Pineda's a good pitcher. He's, like, right where he needs to be. He had that one bad start, or maybe two, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we get Tanaka back, hopefully he'll be the Tanaka, not necessarily the dominant Tanaka we saw at the beginning of 2014, but that Tanaka that can win us games for sure. Looking at Ivan Nova back sometime within the next month, next 30 days, I think we'll get him back. And at that point, I think we have a fairly solid starting rotation. And right now, I'm like, let's wait for Pineda to pitch them, we can get that win. I think we have those guys, like, okay, Tanaka, we can win. Eovaldi, we can win these games. I'm looking for Nova to be like almost like a miniature version of Michael Pineda. You know, he has the same exact game. He's a big mm-hmm. guy. He throws that hard fastball and mm-hmm. the hard slider. Very similar games. A lot of guys when they come back from Tommy John are better than they were before. I mean, we talked about that a while ago on the show. Hopefully he's not like the opposite. Like it's like crappy and never returns the same form. So I think by the end of June, we'll really see what we got going forward. You know, we'll be like 3 months into the year, and we'll see what type of team we really have.
Well, it's going to take forever, it seems.
Because they have good ball players that are either hurt or they don't have that. I don't want to use that cliche, eye of the tiger. I also don't want to say that they have no confidence, because that's to me that's a slam to their athletic ability. But I do know they're not really performing to the level that we should have expected by now. We did say they were going to be about a 500 team,
and they are,
but they don't look good. For lack of a better term, okay, they just don't look good. They look ordinary, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like they're still trying to find their way. And what are we now? Are we 40 games in? What are we, about a third of the season? What are we now?
51 games.
49 games.
49, yep.
Yeah, you know, and we're still trying to find our way. I thought that was going to be over with by the 30-game mark, but that. I don't know what's going on, fellas. I one of the reasons I was very apprehensive, I said, man, I don't know how we're going to approach this podcast, man, where these guys are not giving us any ammunition to work on, you know. As soon as they look like they're on a run and we're all really hyped as to what the potential is of that, they slide right back into this cave as if nothing ever happened or there's no F. There's just no swagger there. Look at the Yanks right now when they hit the field, particularly last night when against the A's. It's almost like there wasn't any urgency. You know, almost like, you know, we're here. How long is this going to take? You know, they just didn't have it. And I'm wondering what that is a testament to. The fact that everyone's always injured, the fact that there's no clear, real, I don't want to say no clear leadership, but no, I don't know if there's a clubhouse at all with the Yanks right now. I'm not sure. When I say
that,
I'm talking about staff. Say again?
The clubhouse, I think that does exist. There's been a lot of, Kenny, you probably know about this, with the Brett Gardner, with the mustache thing, of the camaraderie of having fun. I think they are more loose as a unit, knowing that, let's face it, when the boss was the owner, everything was fresh cuts and shaves and none of the silly stuff like a lot of the other teams with the shenanigans of being loose and being kids. Baseball is a kid's sport, but grown men play and get paid for it. I think the Yankees have slowly, as a culture of a franchise, are slowly trying to be like the rest of the teams in the league. And when it comes to being fun and up in spirits, where the prior 80 years or whatever is more about business, which is Yankee baseball. And like, as you would say, Chris, this is business. This is corporate.
We're
hitting home runs. We're making money. Where now it's kind of like that to a degree, but not as much. Where it seems like the culture, the Yankees are doing more of what they want to do as a team, starting with the cast or starting with the players in the clubhouse. I see that a little bit more than that. Now, Chris, I want to go back to what you mentioned about Tanaka, and it kind of goes what we say about another player on this platform that we root for, as far as number 80 for the Big Blue team. And now, I'm not in a rush to bring this guy back either, the pitcher Tanaka. I'm not in a rush. He's an investment. He's a real big investment for this pinstripe team. And I think my perspective, now I'm a little older, is like before when I was younger as a kid, I'm more like I used to be on the lines, and then that's how the sport was, the culture, the fans. Hey, you injured, you suck it up, you go play. That's how it was back in back in the day, but in the, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you suck it up, you play, you get bumped and bruised, you out there, you're still out there. Where this time around, these injuries are real serious, man, and they have invested a lot of money in Tanaka, and I am in zero rush in rushing him back. Zero rush. Even if that even means salvaging this season of bringing him back. Because I'm looking more in the future of how of an asset he can be to this organization. I think we still have the pitchers to get the – I mean, even as bad as we may be sounding with the Yankees right now, Kenny and Chris, they are still in first place by a game. and not only that, the rest of the league is pretty much outside of Houston. Everybody else is pretty much on par as far as playing average baseball. I don't know. Maybe the American League is just a lot down. But if you look at it, the Yankees outside, I mean, as you can see, they can play with Kansas City. Kansas City had the best of them when they went to Kansas City a few weeks back, but they swept them. I mean, we know they can play with them. Right. But the rest of the league is down. We haven't played with Houston yet, and Houston has shown to be remarkable. I think we could be any team in the league. I don't think they're really – maybe they're just – I don't know. They're just finding – you said it like yourself, Chris. You were right. They're finding their way. You said it on another podcast. They're finding their way.
Right.
That's what it is.
It helps. I think it helps Giraldi if he – and of course, injuries are going to be part of the game. We always talk about that. And Steve, please don't segue into the Giants when you talk about.
Oh, no,
injuries,
I won't.
Okay?
I won't do this. It's too much down. We're too much sad and melancholy from last night to even bring that up.
I know, but I'm thinking if you put your head in, if you be Giraldi for a second, you're saying to myself, I need my pitching staff at least. If I have a five-man rotation, I at least have to have three consistent starters here. You know, if you notice, sometimes, and it happened last night a little bit, okay, when we have a starter that's getting rocked kind of early and he looks a little shaky, unlike Billy Martin, who used to just say, get in there, you hit the mound and say, hey, look, you're going back out there, and this time you're going to take something off your fastball, you're going to do this. Instead of that, Giraldi's like more of the, look, man, I need you to hang on as much as we can. And fellas, we're going to need some runs kind of guy. You know, I don't see him really, and I'm not trying to be that critical. I just don't – he's using what he has to the best of his ability, but they're not ready to handle that yet. In other words, CC, you just alluded to it. He's not ready, as we've already seen. Pineda, I don't know what we're getting half the time. Ibaldi, Capiano, same pitcher to me, okay? And Warren, there's so much inconsistencies there. I don't think that we really have those five guys are the actual, they're worthy of starting these games, man. But that's what we have. That's all we have to work with. I'm pretty sure Tanaka and Nova at their best to really turn this thing around. But damn, you know, Giraldi's doing the best he can with what he has. But what he has is excuse the expression, ain't really shit right now. We're suffering on the mound, man, and that's probably the source of most of his problems. But on the other hand, like Kenny alluded to, hey, we got to do more than just wait for the big run, a big home run. I mean, you know, it's nice to see it when it comes. I you know, you're not really serious if you're expecting Garner, Gregorius, Drew, I'm missing somebody here in my mind. But you're not expecting them to hit a home run every time up the plate. Of course not. That's not their thing. But it would be helpful if they set the table up a little bit too. But that's not probably their thing. We just got a really, really weird club right now. And they're so weird, just like you just said, Steve. They're so strange. They are a game in front of the Rays and Orioles. You know? That's strange to me. So, I don't know. Okay, that's my little spiel. Any turn.
I'm trying to think. I don't really know where this team is at right now. I'd like to say they're in pretty good shape, but I don't know if that's necessarily true, because you look at their starting lineup. They got a lot of big names in that lineup, a lot of big guys who we know can get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it on some radio show during the week, that this team is so capable of collapsing. It's ridiculous. At any point, this team could just lose 10 straight. Sure, they can win games, too. We've seen them win games. But they are definitely capable of going on this collapsing, falling five games back in the East, and just that's it. And I hate to say it, but it's kind of true. I can totally see that happening. I don't know what to do with that.
I don't want to jump the gun to last night's game in particular. I'll say this. Do you guys feel sometimes, and this happens, we're talking about a guy in Chris Capiano, and you're really asking him to go up against a guy in Sonny Gray who pretty much is a young pitcher for the Athletics. He's right now, he's 6-2, and he's coming off of pretty much a double-digit win last year when he as a rookie for the Athletics. But I mean, we're talking about he could be a future ace. Talking about Sonny Gray for the Athletics. Sometimes can you be a victim? I would say victim, but can you run into bad matchups? You're talking about a guy who's has ace potential. I mean, he gave the Athletics a strong 8 innings yesterday, and he's been doing that pretty much all season.
I thought he was going to throw a no hitter for a minute.
Hey, he could. And it's kind of like
I thought he was going to.
Are you? It's like you're bringing an AK-47 to like a knife. Like sometimes you're not having your best horse versus their best horse. You're having their number two versus your number five. And do you really expect to win? I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, you would like to win, but if Chris Capiano would have gotten that win last night, how different would our tune be? Would it be like, hey, it's more expected because we're the Yankees, or how I look at it, where, damn, he's got his first win of the year versus a pitcher who's one of the tops and wins this year. Like, how do you guys look at it when you face opposing pitchers and they're very good pitchers and you're going in there with your weak guns in the starting rotation?
Okay, Ken.
That's part of the game. You can't expect to get your best pitcher against their weakest every time. So there are going to be those matchups when we got our number five going against their ace and number two. I mean, it happened. And unfortunately, our lineup or our rotation isn't that deep. So when that's a matchup, we get the matchup, we're not going to have the best shot at winning. I think, though, as we get these guys back from the DL, like Nova and Tanaka, that we will see a little more depth and we'll start to win more of those games. Not all of them, of course, but we'll start to win more. Like last night, we had a very slim chance, but you know, maybe 2 months from now, when instead of having Capuano, we have Nathan Eovaldi, and he has a good game as our number four or five starter, we can see a win there.
I'm going to take you back in the day. Okay, before you guys were born, and I was that crazy, crazy fan with those three. I had a Mickey Mantle glove, I had a Horace Clark glove. I know you guys don't know who he is. Horace Clark glove, and I had a Bobby Mercer. And back to those days when I was just getting my front teeth. Okay, this is how this used to work. I saw our ace pitcher, Mel Stoudemire, get pulled from the lineup one time because he wasn't going to face Catfish Hunter. Back in the day, your number one faced your number one, two, faced number two, three, faced number three, and four faced number four. There weren't no five-man rotations back then. Guys, when I was a kid in the early 70s, starting pitchers were expected to go at least 7.5 to 8 innings. Before Sparky Lyle of the Yankees revolutionized the saves opportunity. That's what happened. He was the guy that really, there were saves before him, but he's the one who really revolutionized it. So that's what the mindset was. The mindset was to make sure that your number one starter meets their number one starter so that there will be some kind of parity in strength and matchup. You very often, as a result of that, you had a lot of entertaining games. You had games like, this is in another league, but I remember this well. I remember Tom Seaver of the Mets beating Ferguson Jenkins of the Cubs 1-0 on a four-hit shutout. But Ferguson Jenkins only gave up one run with no walks and had 15 strikeouts and lost. You know, that's what the mindset was, to always keep those kind of matchups together, pitching matchups together, because it was like putting your best foot forward. And unless there was dire injuries, which is kind of sort of like going on right now with the Yanks, you didn't do that. But, Steve, you're right. It does matter. You just can't. If you're facing the best pitcher in the league, you can't bring up a guy, a journeyman that is bounced around in minors for 3 years, and then he's a second part of his second major league season, and he's in his fifth start or whatever. You can't have things like that. You got to have the right guy at the right time, because it does matter. Because what happens after that, a manager will adjust his lineup according to what he sees or what the opposing pitcher has or who's available in the bullpen, you know. Because more than likely, you're not going to – if you get your best guy out there, you're not going to bring – you're not prepping for middle inning pitchers, you know. Not like Giraldi does. He preps for next year. But you don't normally do that if you've got your best guy out there. And they have their best guy out there. So it does make sense, or it doesn't make sense the way that went down last night with your best against your fourth – oh, whatever he is. I don't know. Baseball's changed. And it does – it would be better if we can get a – oh, God. Here we go again with this confusion. I'm going back to Tanaka again in my mind, because we don't have our best foot forward right now. So I don't know what the actual answer is today, but it should be the way you just described it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It should be.
Yeah, and it's back as far as Mr. Tanaka. I will reiterate to Yankees fans that definitely go listen to what we say on this audio archive. Do not rush him back. As I say with the football player for number 80 for the Big Blue team, the carryover.
Mm-hmm.
Not bring him back. I don't even care if they say they're 100%. I mean, I want every precaution. And the funny thing is, they both got huge contracts. And I want our best when we're really at our best. Not just to say, hey, man, we need to rush him back just to get him back. That's not going to solve anything. It really, really doesn't. I think we have enough to get by for what we have right now. I really, really do. And I don't know, man. It's just the up and down. But it's kind of like we say what we say as far as the Yankees are going to be around 500 by the end of May. Go figure, they are. I said, well, should we really be mad? I mean, this is what we said.
Well, yeah, I would be mad because now, okay, we're hoping that they will turn this thing around. But wait a minute, what if the Orioles and Rays start turning their stuff around?
That's the other part of that question. That's
you know?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's not going to be a pretty picture. It's not. What if the Red Sox say, you know what, bump all of you guys. We're going to go on a tangent right now, say mid-July. You know? It's, I don't know whether this is a curse or a blessing that we're suffering this early. I'm not really sure. You know, maybe it is a blessing somehow. Maybe everybody will come together at once.
I'm leaning more towards a blessing. It could. The worst case scenario is be 10 games under 500, and we're not that at that point. At this point, and that would have been my worst case scenario, projecting what we were going to be by the 2 full months into the season. The West Coast trip versus Oakland, I expect them to at least split between – I thought they would at least win Thursday night's game with CeCe on there. If you guys want to go back to that game, what happened in that game, Kenny, that kind of, I say, surprised you or not surprised you or disappointed you in that loss on Thursday?
I think there's a lot of walks. You can't win games with a lot of walks. You alluded to that earlier. We actually walked in a run. I think that was – Carpenter that did that. But CeCe gave up a couple walks and they loaded the base with no outs. When it comes to CeCe, you got to avoid that big inning. And he couldn't do that. He gave up that couple home runs. It's just that cost us in the end. It is what it is. But I think it was the lack of CeCe's control that kind of bothered me a little bit.
Chris, here's my thing about Thursday night game. Is there anything you want to expand on that with CeCe? Because normally the argument with CeCe was he doesn't get the run support. He doesn't get the run support. In fact, well, he going into the fifth inning, he had a 3-0 lead. So that argument is out the door. So
yeah, really.
Now, it's not that he pitched bad, but – you know, he gave us six, gave up eight hits, one walk, and the strikeouts, and it wasn't overwhelming. He only K4, but what is it about Thursday night game when Girardi gave him, you know, gave him the captain hook and turning it over to the bullpen? This guy can't get a break. What is it about? What's going in his – I guess my question was, CeCe, what the hell is going on in his mind? Okay, you guys don't give me run support, so I can't get wins. Now I got the run support, I'm getting hooked. I can't even fight out of my own jams.
It looked like frustration to me. It looked like – okay.
Hmm?
I'm going to make a long answer, a short one.
Okay.
To me, he looked like he was pitching okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that was the point where I'd normally say, okay, I mean, from the clubhouse perspective, and the loud guys, your A-Rods and Brett, the loud guys were the ones that should have led the charge and said, hey, you know, let's get it going. Yeah, CeCe, man, we're pitching real well. Good job out there, big fella, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't deliver for him. Now, what they didn't deliver for him, it seems like he got the hook. I won't say unnecessarily, but he could have lasted a couple of more innings if he had some backup. And I said to myself, he's going to be pissed, okay? And he's going to probably, at some point, if not tonight, let Girardi have it, you know? And you know what? He didn't have any. Okay, let me slip back. One second. Let me try to remember this. I seem to remember there was a point where, okay, even though inning that he got pulled, I think it was the seventh inning he got pulled. Okay, he had two runners on, but no one was out, and mm-hmm. that gave Girardi the chance to say, okay, he's got to go. But at the same time, I didn't feel, and also, you know, Girardi's also probably thinking that, hey, you know, who did he use? He used Miller, he used Batances, he used Justin Wilson, probably every game before that, the last three games before that. And he didn't want to, I guess he felt like he might have been over-pitching them or whatever, but it still didn't make any sense. I don't know, Steve. There were so many different tangibles in that hook, you know. I think he should have stayed in, actually. And I don't know if I'm in the minority with that or what, you know. Mm-hmm. But I really think he should have stayed in. You know, like you said, he had one run for about five innings or something like that before Laurie hit that home run, something like that,
mm-hmm.
to tie the score.
Yes,
you know, and I think he should have gone ahead. He hadn't run out of gas. I think he should have stayed around. But on the other hand, Girardi's having pitching woes. I mean, if he feels like he doesn't want to overwork his bullpen, watch some in the bullpen. I just didn't get it. I don't get any of this. It's all a mess. It's, you know, I don't know. But to answer your earlier question, Sabathia doesn't feel really happy about this. Okay?
Mm.
I felt that he was about to get a second win, and he's probably going to let Girardi know the next time this happens. I just could see it on his face.
Think that's in his personality make, or you think he's going to go back to Joe?
It's not in his personality make. It's not in his personality make. But you know what? He looked kind of surprised when he got iced. When he got hooked.
I saw that too. Exactly.
He looked like he said, "Hey,
I know.
I got something going on here." And I said, "Oh shit!"
I think we need to keep an eye out on that, Chris. You hit a point that I saw, and you're right, man.
I know.
And I think Kenny's
surprised.
Seen the same thing.
What are you doing? Right, he was like, "What are you doing?" And that's what really got me kind of tongue-tied right now, because I'm trying to figure out what both of them are doing.
It's crazy, man. Let me say something real quick to add on to what you're saying, Chris and Kenny. And we've seen it watching baseball, whether you're watching it, especially watching it on TV and HD, you wouldn't see the body language as clear as you would have 15 years ago. And sometimes body language. They say it's 90% communication and verbal is the 10%. You could say something, but your actions really mean more. And whether you're at the game or even watching it on HD, you could tell, Chris, like you said, you could tell by the body language, like, whoa, what was that? Like, whoa, I can't believe what I saw. Like, this dude's pissed.
Yeah, he was pissed off.
And the funny thing is the technology watching these games, it exposes that. Because you're now seeing more of the better picture of how, because in baseball, when you're watching the game, the guys look like they're quiet. They look like they don't know how to talk. They're just watching the game, and they're just, it's either hand signals. You don't really see a lot of rah-rah cheering, pom-poms in the dugout. Right. You're just watching guys in the dugout just watching the game, or just in the field just looking at the plate, waiting for the pitch to be pitched. But you watch, but every now and then you see little keys, a body language, Chris. And you're right, man. That is,
I saw it. He just sort of went, "What are you doing?" Even after that crazy freak ass homer that the one guy hit off of him. Okay. Mm-hmm. He still was in control, man. He still was in control. He was the most shocked person in that stadium. I don't know. That did look a little suspect.
Oh, no. You're right. We do know. We're going to bookmark that action, and we're going to keep an eye out and pinpoint it to May 29th, the game versus Oakland. Because if anything develops where things spiral out of control, we go back to the point. And that point may be that game, man. Just to a degree.
That's right.
Not to say that all pitchers, you know, we see pitchers get pissed off over the years. Why you pull me? But as far as the Yankees, body language. Kenny, what about you? How do you feel as far as the body languages of these pitchers or just the players, whether they disagree with their management?
There's a lot going on with Capuano last night. He was visibly frustrated with himself early in the game. You know, when he's missing his spots, he got 3-0 on I don't remember who. He got 3-0 on some batter, and he's like really walked behind the mound. He's upset with himself.
Yeah.
When Girardi pulled him, you know, you could see him saying, "Just give me one more batter, I can do more." He'd only thrown like 80 something pitches.
Yeah.
I don't really know what Girardi was doing. I don't know what his thinking was. I agree with you guys. I think he was still in full control of that game. I think he could have very easily gotten out of that inning, out of the sixth, no problem, just as well as anyone else could have. And it kind of bothers me that Girardi has such a quick trigger with these guys. I don't know if he has enough faith in his starting rotation. Maybe he shouldn't, considering they haven't really performed that stellar this year. But he clearly doesn't have the faith that doesn't have the confidence in them that you need to have to win a lot of games. So we'll see where that goes. These pitchers need to build confidence, I guess. Just need to show what they can do.
Okay. I agree with that. I mean, look, this is the most tongue-tied podcast in history. All three of us are like, what the, and why, and how come, and... Because we really don't know, and actually no one does. But there's another part about this that I want to highlight a bit.
Sure.
Before anyone gets excited, and I'm not actually talking, I'm talking to the listeners, I'm not really talking about us. And that is, Girardi has a habit of taking nothing and doing well with it, okay? He was managing to be in the National League for a reason. That team had no business contending, and they were kicking butt. You know, I've seen them do it.
True.
I've seen them do it, even with this team. So I can't really second-guess them. You could always kind of scratch your head. You're wondering, Dad, man, why are you using a putter instead of a drive here, you know? And, you know he's that kind of manager. But whatever it is, it's unorthodox, but damn it, it's effective. So... because he's got the team in first place. You can't really give him no help.
I know. So, it's the crazy thing. It's a crazy situation, a crazy scenario, Kenny and Chris. You're nitpicking great. I mean, I know that's when you want to strive for greatness, and that's what the Yankees have been in professional sports, where you're only one game over 500. You still want to improve to be better. You're just trying to find ways.
Right.
Now, as far as when to pull pitches, that is a thin line. I don't want to be over dramatic about it, but I'm just speaking on the body language of with CC Sabathia. It's like he had that. What the hell, you son of a bitch? Like, what the fuck are you doing? You know that's
I know.
The look he had.
I know.
And I've seen that look before. Like, whoa, what's this? And I'm glad you guys brought that. I almost forgot about that. You're right, Chris. You're totally right.
He sort of went, hey, man, you coming out here for me?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
I said, oh, no, it's going to be a fight on the mound. But he loved yeah. He's cordial.
They got to put that fire out. Like they have to extinguish that. Like that has not got to carry over. Please let that not carry over into June, into July. Like dead that immediately.
I know, but you know, look, we're the Yankees, man, and somehow this always works out. There's been plays, songs, folklore about this damn team, and it's all of it is. All of that imagination and luster and glamour is absolutely true. We have it, and somehow we'll get this. This is a smokescreen for something better to come later on. I just know it is. That's what I think. But then again, I'm prejudiced, man. I love pinstripes, man. I love the Cracker Jacks. I love the Italian sausages. I love the kids with their heads with their Yankee caps on backwards coming to the game with Jeter and Teixeira and well, not so much A-Rod anymore, but you know, the Beltran jerseys on or whatever, and it's the whole atmosphere, man, and it's gonna come together. It has to. When you're playing in an atmosphere like that with those fans, with that fan base, with that emotion, man, it'll come around. All you need is to toe the line a little bit, and I'm hopeful that this thing will turn around really, really quickly. I just don't. It's just as bewildering as hell to look at this point. That's all.
Okay, we have about 4 minutes left. Kenny and Chris, let's the last two games of this series in Oakland. Then we're on to Seattle. Then we go back home and play the Angels and the Nats. We got on the mound and Nathan Eovaldi, Kenny, and he had come off a nice win versus the Royals. He had a million runs, though, to support. But what I really liked, and I told Chris in the Blues Day recap, he had, like, pretty much an 8-0 lead. And sometimes pitchers, they could get real complacent and just let, you know, runs here, one or two runs here, run or two runs there. And next thing you know, it could have been an 8-5 game, 8-6. But he didn't do that. And he has a 3-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio right now. And Eovaldi, I have confidence in Eovaldi. What do you expect out of him in his start tonight in Oakland versus Han?
He looked really good on Monday. You know, he showed a lot more maturity than I thought he had. Keeping the Royals in check, and after they had that huge lead, you know, he let up, I think, one run and whatever 7-plus innings. I think he went. Looked real good to me. I'm looking to another good start tonight. You know, keep them 1-2 runs, keep the Yankees in this game. Let them get the home run and let the offense do what they do. I'm looking for a nice win tonight.
Hopefully.
Echoed. Complete echo. I have nothing to add to that. Complete echo. There's nothing I can say. He said everything just perfect. That's why he's the big KD. That's
right.
Yeah. There you go. Dang.
Kenny's the future, man. This guy.
You need your own Yankee show, man. You need to be on NY1, you know.
Well, it's coming. Don't worry about that. That's coming for him, man. Now, you got to split the series. I'll even take a series split. Normally, I wouldn't, but if you split the two in Oakland, I'll take it. I don't want to lose 3 out of 4, even possibly get swept. Final thoughts, Kenny, the Yankees, even with a one-game division lead, and anything you want to expand on we have not spoke on, real quick before we get off, and then Chris, and then we'll wrap up.
Real quick, we saw Slade Heathcott go down with a quad injury yesterday on the DL.
Chris.
I mean, I knew that was going to happen just the way he played.
He's
that aggressiveness and whatever. We should be back, like, in Girardi said, a little more than 15 days. But I don't know. We're going to see Ellsbury returning at the same time. So we might not get to see any more Slade Heathcott this year. That might be it.
I'm going to say something really weird. I am going to pick nothing but Yankees on my Major League All-Star Game ballot. That's what I'm going to do.
Hopefully, baseball is a really funny thing. Hopefully, this will help them in the right direction. It's a very superstitious sport, and that's my superstition. I'm gonna vote Yankee, Yankee, Yankee up and down, and maybe that'll send some real magic their way. But that's me. That's my little final thought.
If I can remember next week when we do the Saturday. I got to let you guys know how I am so not in favor of interleague play. And it goes back to the
All-Star game.
Oh,
I hate
my
it.
God. I mean, we'll address it next time. I'll have to write
myself
a note.
Let's do that next week. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note of that. We'll discuss it. I'm glad you brought that up because that needs to be discussed. I'm tired of that stuff, man. It was okay at first. But anyway, shout-outs to New York Yankees writer for WordPress. That's Kenny D, and then also Christopher Miles and Steve Blair on here, the Yankees, the Dugout, Yankees podcast. Bleed Blue, guys.
We bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue.